Item 4 is an action item. Judicial Branch Administration, this is a report and recommendations to improve the governance structure and the organization of the Judicial Council Advisory Groups. Justices Miller, Hull, and Judge Herman.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Under the leadership of the Chief Justice, the Judicial Council has been examining itself and its processes. We looked at our meetings, the public comment portion, the oversight of the AOC, and as a result, we instituted a number of improvements. We've expanded public participation in council meetings. We've improved public access to council decision-making, strengthened the council's oversight of the AOC, and identified and directed a significant other branch efficiencies. We are doing this to improve the council's accountability and transparency to the public, to the branch, and to the two other branches of government. By the fall of 2012, we found it was now time, though, to look at and review and find ways to improve the council's advisory group functions. To accomplish that, members of the council's E&P, RUPRO, and technology committees met several times over the past few months. We also met with the chairs of most of the council's standing advisory committees, task forces, and many of its working groups. The Chief Justice has assigned to the three internal committees the oversight of most of the council's advisory groups. We reviewed each advisory group's annual agenda, each group's objectives and projects for the coming year. We also discussed possible changes in the group's governance, structure, and organization, and how they are operating now and how we would like to see them operating in the future. We have looked for ways to increase the efficiency, accountability, transparency, and cost-effectiveness of the council's advisory groups while maintaining the valuable process that produces specialized and expert recommendations that can only come from the hundreds and hundreds of committed judges, attorneys, and court leaders who volunteer their time and efforts to analyze proposals and recommend improvements for our court system for the benefit of the people of California. The Judicial Council relies on the sound and well-reasoned policy recommendations from its many diverse and expert advisory committees and groups. The chart attached to our report reflects E&P, RUPRO, and the Technology Committee's recommendations to the Council, which were developed during this period, again, to improve the governance structure and organization of the Council's various advisory groups. The chart does not include recommendations for those advisory groups that address technology, as those groups are undergoing a separate review by the Technology Committee. To start, we also recommend three general propositions. First, an advisory group must solicit the approval of its assigned council oversight committee before creating subcommittees or subgroups. Second, they must solicit that approval. They must also solicit approval before they add new projects that weren't in their annual agenda. And third, the council, through its internal committees, should regularly review the governance structure and organization of the various advisory groups. I want to highlight this afternoon those groups whose structure, membership, and projects will be affected by the recommendations we have proposed. If the council approves these recommendations today, Justice Hall, Judge Herman, and I will work with the chairs of those advisory groups affected, and through our internal committees, oversee to make sure that they are efficient and effectively implemented. First, we recommend in the chart that the following groups, although they started as ad hoc temporary advisory groups, become standing council advisory committees with a formal charge, a rule of court, and appointments made through the annual nominations process. They should become standing advisory groups because the Judicial Council now regularly relies on them for sound advice in their areas of expertise and will likely continue to look for that advice. RUPRO will oversee the drafting of the rules of court. E&P will oversee the nomination process. Following the sunset of the Court Emergency Response and Security Task Force, we recommend it be established as a Court Security Advisory Committee. Court Facilities Working Group to become Court Facilities Advisory Committee, the Trial Court Budget Working Group to become the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, the Trial Court Facility Modification Working Group to become the Trial Court Facility Modification Advisory Committee, and then lastly, the California Tribal Court State Court Forum We also recommend to become a standing advisory committee, but to retain the same name. Second, based on our review and discussion with advisory group chairs, we recommend the following groups either for either modified oversight or a change in reporting responsibility or restructuring. The CJR Governing Committee be given reporting responsibility for the B.E. Witkin Judicial College Steering Committee. Court Execs Advisory Committee and the Conference of Court Executives be combined into one standing advisory committee with an executive committee. This structure would mirror the structure of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee. The resulting committee would not include a position for an appellate court clerk. All six appellate court clerk administrators are already part of the California Appellate Court Clerks Association, which works with the Council's Administrative Presiding Judges Advisory Committee. Domestic Violence Practice and Procedures Task Force, the chair be asked to submit a report by August 1st for consideration at the August Council meeting, and the task force be asked to complete as many of its projects as possible by September 1st, 2013. It's anticipated that the remainder of the projects will be merged with the Violence Against Women Project. And again, Justice Hall and I will work with the chairs of both of those groups to consider how to merge the two groups. The Elkins Family Law Implementation Task Force, and there's just a slight change. Following further discussion with the chair of the task force, we have a slightly different proposal from which is included in the chart. This task force is scheduled to sunset on June 30, 2013. To allow for completion of pending projects and an orderly transition of remaining work, we recommend, however, that the sunset date of the task force be extended until October 31, 2013, and that the chair be asked to submit a report on the assignment of remaining projects by October 1, 2013, for consideration at the October Council meeting. And again, we'll work with the chair, Justice Hall, and I on those assignments of the remaining projects. In other words, determine where they should be assigned. Mental Health Issues Implementation Task Force. Again, there's a change with regards to the actual recommendation. Following further discussion with the chair of the Mental Health Issues Implementation Task Force, we have a slightly different proposal from which is included in the chart. This task force is currently scheduled to sunset December 31st, 2014. To allow for completion of pending projects and, again, the orderly transition of remaining work, we recommend that the sunset date of the task be July 1st, 2014, and that the chair be asked to submit a report on the assignment of remaining projects by June 1st, 2014, for consideration at the June 2014 Council meeting. And again, we will work with them on the assignment of any remaining projects. Self-Represented Litigants Task Force, and again, a little bit of a change. Following further discussion with the chairs of the Self-Represented Litigants Task Force and the Access and Fairness Advisory Committee, we have a slightly different proposal from what is included in the chart. This task force was scheduled to sunset on January 1, 2013. But to allow for completion of pending projects and an orderly transition of remaining work, we recommend, however, that the sunset date of the task force be extended until October 31, 2013, and that the chair be asked to submit a report on the assignment of remaining projects by October 1, 2013, for consideration at the October Council meeting. And then it's anticipated that those remaining projects will be merged with Access and Fairness, and some of their projects may be even assigned to other advisory committees, but that they will be merged with Access and Fairness. And again, our intent is to work with them over the next 6 months to decide exactly how that merger will take place. Last is guidelines for advisory groups. Although we've accomplished a number of proposals in although we've accomplished a significant amount of work in the past few months, as always, there seems to be more to do, and ENP and RUPRO intend to do more review and more consideration of improvements for the Council's advisory group's functions. We intend to next work on, for the Council's consideration, guidelines for advisory groups. Some key areas the guidelines will address are definitions of the different types of advisory groups, the creation, the duration, and the membership advisory groups, and reporting to the council or an internal council committee on each group's projects, timelines, resource needs, and staffing. We clearly want to come up with a process where we're able to look at the priorities and determine the appropriate staffing level, the appropriate cost for those individual projects, so that we can make in their annual agenda a determination as to what priorities there should be and how they should be ranked. Again, we intend to work with the advisory chairs on the guidelines and ask them to participate in their development. I don't know if Justice Hall.
Yep, I just had one.
I was just going to say, I only have one comment. Justice Miller has covered this item quite thoroughly. But the last point, I do anticipate we all would agree that this is an ongoing process and that probably it will be a subject that we will have in the forefront of our minds each year when we examine the annual agendas. Obviously, the work of the advisory committees and the task forces is not static, and so I think this is something that we can address as needed and continue to work towards efficiencies and cost-cutting measures.
So comments? Judge Jacobson?
I just wanted to comment that in this process, we had thorough discussions with the chairs of the committees. We had robust discussion amongst ourselves, and I'm pleased with the product that came out as a result, and I would make a motion to adopt Attachment 1 with the date changes that Justice Miller has mentioned.
And are you also including in the recommendation all that's stated on page 2 of your materials that these three internal committees further recommend, et cetera, that last sentence?
Yes.
Second.
Second by who did I? Jim mm-hmm. Fox? David Yamasaki?
Ask a question.
Please do.
So one of the items that is recommended was reference on page 9, item 30. It calls for the sunsetting of the advisory committee that was formed to receive the other contract manual. And you heard earlier today that there was a BSA audit. In the course of that audit, there was a recommendation that there was something absent in terms of the policy related to contracting manual for small businesses. So while the work of the committee is almost finished, I would ask that item, that no action be taken relative to item 30, pending the completion of the work that we have had.
And so what I would recommend on that, if it's okay, if that's the consensus of everyone, and I don't have a problem with that, that what happens with that group be assigned to E&P so that we can make a determination when it would be appropriate for it to sunset and take into consideration what you've just indicated. So is that a friendly amendment?
Again, he's a friendly guy. So I'll accept it that way.
So the friendly amendment is to attachment 1 on page 9, item 30, is under proposed oversight of reporting responsibility, insert E&P.
Yes.
Mary Beth Todd?
Acceptable to the second.
Thank you. I just had a question for clarification, because I'm really not clear what the exact intent. Your recommendation is that before creating a subcommittee or subgroup, the committee would have to get permission to update their plan. Is that intended to preclude informal subgroups? So if a subgroup of advisory committee wanted to, you know, an urgent issue arose and the three of them want to go off together and bring something back without the use of staff time, is it intended to preclude that? Or
no,
would we have that flexibility?
You're just talking about three people want to get together and talk. No, this was more the creation of a formal subcommittee
right, okay.
like we've seen.
Which uses the staff,
not an ad hoc.
Judge Brandlin?
It's just a comment, Chief. I wanted to thank the internal committee chairs for item number 20. As a former member of the Court Emergency Response and Security Task Force, I'm pleased to see this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Brandlin. Any other comment before we take the vote? I want to say one thing, and that is this recommendation came up, I think, as part of the whiteboard brainstorming in June 2011, And I am so pleased that council has stayed on focus to those initial recommendations that were had early in 2011 when all was so new, when the survey of the presiding judges of their trial judges had just come in. We heard from 35 courts. It was during that time that the idea of the SEC really came into play that was, you know, later brought to finish by members of council here. So I'm just really impressed by the focus. And I know that several times this was raised during reactive times in the branch. We were in the middle of budget and we were in the middle of the contracting code and changes and amendments, but always I know when anyone raised, well, where are we with advisory committees, council members said, oh, we're getting there. It's just not on the burner yet. And now here it is. And so I'm happy to see that we're here faced with the issue and it's come to fruition. Judge Rosenberg.
Could I just add that I am serving as a member of ENP, and I will tell you that Justice Miller is relentless in keeping us focused on that task. And, you know, with Justice Hull and Judge Herman's committees working hand in hand, we spent a lot of time on this, and I think it's a good product.
Thank you. All in favor of recommendation number 2 as amended, as indicated by David Yamasaki, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Matter carries. Before we adjourn, I would like to acknowledge that we have a very good student in our midst today, someone who will be coming on to the Judicial Council in September, appointed by the State Bar, who is here in April, and we certainly laud that kind of preparation. Mark Bonino, our new council member from State Bar. And though people listening can't see it, he has his 3-inch binder in hand and a smile on his face. And he'll be at the board table tomorrow. This concludes our business, our education / business meeting. Tomorrow we will stand in full session to continue our agenda as it publicized starting at 8:30. We stand in recess. Thank you.